Welcome to Love, Light, and Fashion, where award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and her guests talk about turning your ideas and dreams into reality. Wendy believes that every woman can have it all, and she takes away all of the stress that comes with the social media aspect of business by providing a number of resources, including Facebook ad creation and implementation, management, coaching and training, strategy, and so much more. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy how to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Contact Wendy to do the 7 Days to Social Media Sanity Facebook Challenge and have her help you to make your goals and actions match your business plan. Don't end this year not socially ready for next year. And now, your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Love, Light, and Passion. I'm so excited that you could join us this week, as always. We have a very special guest this week from the group that I always, the private group that I always talk about, Sean's group. She and I have interacted through this group. We've never met, but we've interacted through this group for probably, it's been almost 2 years now. It has been 2 years now. So I want to introduce Sue Erda. I'm so excited that you're here, Sue. And you have a company called Powerful You, and I'm really, 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 really glad that you're here. So welcome.
Well, thank you. Wendy, I am so grateful to be here with you. I'm grateful for a lot of things in my life, and gratitude plays a big part. I'm really grateful that we met, and I say met because it seems like even though we haven't met in person, I feel like I know you in many ways just because of what we share in that group and because it's, you know, such a wonderful opening there. And there are just so many incredible people that we both have interacted with because of Sean, you know, and it's amazing how people come into our lives for a very, you know, even for short periods of time sometimes, but for a really good reason, you know, and I think that obviously Sean has brought lots of amazing people together, so I'm so grateful that she brought us together.
And you know, the reason why I get so much, and we don't talk as much, we go through periods of talking in the group like people here and there, but I love the fact that the majority of the women there, I actually don't know any that aren't, that are so, even with life, it's always about being positive. It's always about encouraging each other. And I just feel like it's a soul sisterhood connected there. And it's, it's been an amazing to watch people's journeys and talk to them in the group and off the group and have them on the show. So, but I'm really excited to have you here, because you like to write, and we've actually had some of the guests you like to help women be published, and we were just talking right before the show, Diane Mativia, we've had her on the show twice, and she's phenomenal, but there's other women in the group too that you've helped publish, and you're getting ready to get your next book out, so I'm really excited. So just briefly for a minute, let us know how you got into publishing and helping women. How, you know, were you always doing this, or how did that passion become what you're doing today, helping women become powerful and knowing, become authors, which is really exciting.
Well, you know, as everybody else, there's a journey, and, you know, I absolutely have not been doing this my whole life or my whole career. You know, it's very interesting how we all come to be. I actually used to own a manufacturing company where we manufactured neon signs and light displays and other kinds of product display units and things like that, and it was a big business. It was a $5 million company that we had built from nothing, really, up to $5 million in 8 years, and I loved that because I love lighting. I like candles. I like just all kinds of lighting, so I was in the lighting business. But really, we were selling beer signs. And so it's, you know, pretty much that industry is neon signs. And the funny thing is that I used to kind of tell myself, well, I am making people happy because they get to buy beer and beer makes them happy and, you know, like stuff like that. So that was kind of my back door to getting people to be happy. And I know that doesn't make any sense really, but at the time I was thinking, I really want to do something more in my life. But I'm entrenched in this business, you know, and this is what I'm doing. But so we actually had a catastrophic loss in that business, and you know, you say, how did you come to do this? And it's because of a loss that we had in that business that brought me to this point. So in 2002, actually, we had some signs in the field. We were doing all this business with Guinness, and then they have lots of brands and stuff. And they some of our signs caught fire in the field, and nobody got hurt. There weren't tremendous losses in, you know, as far as anything like that, but there was some danger with the products, and we didn't do anything wrong. That was the thing that the insurance investigation brought out. We didn't actually do anything wrong, but because the signs caught fire in the business, in the field, Guinness said, look, you know, we know it's not your fault. You all approved everything. The insurance company can't find anything, but we can't do business with you anymore. And because most of our business, probably 90% of our business, was with Guinness and all their brands, we were out of business just like that. The amazing thing, Wendy, is that we had asked to get out of that business. And I say ask, you know, we prayed, we put out our intentions, and we said we really don't want to be doing this. We want to do something that's meaningful and to help women in their businesses, because, you know, we were women in business at the time, Kathy and I, and we were trying to figure out how, you know, we could have support of other women while we were doing that. And we supported other women, they supported us, but we thought, well, let's do something different. So, you know, the universe, God, has a way of giving us what we ask for. And if we're not really specific, you know, we get what we get. So we got out of business, like, immediately. And then it was kind of like, okay, so now what do we do? Because we knew we didn't want to be in that kind of business, that whole, you know, there's a lot of stuff involved with that. And we thought, well, we really want to do something more, like, along the lines. And at the time, I was kind of, like, involved with Tony Robbins and Louise Hay. Like, I really love that kind of work, personal development work, spiritual growth work. And how could we do this? And one of our friends invited us to a networking meeting. It was a women's networking tea, actually. And so we went to this thing, and it was like, oh, my gosh, these are women who are all entrepreneurs or in careers or something, and they're all here to help each other somehow grow their business, you know, leads, referrals. But it was more than that. It was like a little bit of a spiritual kind of tea gathering kind of thing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is it. This is really what we want to do. So we actually partnered with the woman that was doing that at the time. But that partnership didn't work out. So Kathy and I decided, let's just do this on our own. And so, you know, in 2005, Powerful You was born. And we started doing networking meetings of our own. And these meetings, we decided we didn't want to just do business networking. We wanted something more, because we knew that, you know, we're holistic beings. We know that wherever we go, our whole self is with us. So let's invite that in these meetings. So we wanted Powerful You to be about business, personal, and spiritual growth. And actually, our tagline at the time was networking with a heart, because we felt like the heart was missing out of most business networking. So we thought, let's bring the heart. Let's bring the thing where we are helping people make real connections. We're going to have conversations, discussion topics during our meetings. We're going to help people to get to really know each other at a deeper level. And so that's what we started doing with our networking meetings. And so we started growing, and we started getting more and more chapters. And currently we have 12 chapters in 7 states. And we're really excited about the growth of Powerful You. And that, you know, that grew into this publishing company too. So what happened is, in our networking meetings, Wendy, we were hearing stories. You know, that's how we found that people connected. That's how women really got to know each other, was through the stories that they told. And they learned lessons through the stories. They learned about each other through the stories. And we thought, well, let's help them tell their stories in a bigger, broader way. So in 2008, we decided we're going to start a publishing company. And so we started gathering women, and we said, let's create an anthology book. Let's bring them a venue, a place where they could share their stories together. And it doesn't have to cost them tons of money. They don't have to write a whole book. They can write one chapter in a book, and they still get to be published authors. We get these amazing stories out into the world that, first of all, it's like a catharsis for the authors to share it. But on the other end, the readers are really benefiting from hearing and reading these stories of these incredible women who have had amazing transformations, who have gone through lots of stuff in their life and are now sharing their stories for the benefit of other people. So it's just a great joy to us to be able to bring these stories to life. And so far we've published 5 Amazon best-selling books, anthology books. We've helped more than 150 women become authors, and now we have 2 more books coming out in January and February that we're really super excited about.
And let me ask you, because I you know, it's so funny that you talk about the stories, because Sean always used to tell me that. She used to say, it's all about the story. You're going to connect with the story. So what exactly, especially for those who might be afraid to get their story out, you know, because because, you know, like you said, we don't all start sometimes in the career we're in. So what, and there might be something that happened or whatever, that, and they're afraid to tell that story because they're afraid to really let people know who they are. So what do you think that it is about telling a story that changes or allows itself to help others?
Well, it's very amazing. You know, I know that anytime I share a story about myself, something happens in me, first of all. So there's, like, first of all, there's that. There's this growth that happens within the person that's telling the story. And then the thing about us, everybody has something that's gone on in their life that they might be afraid to share with other people, either because they're embarrassed about it or they feel like something wrong with what has gone on. You know, but in many cases, and what we have found out through the stories that we have helped women tell, is that, you know, sometimes something's happened to them where they're a victim of something, and they still feel like, you know, they can't share this with the world because, you know, maybe they were a victim of abuse in some way. It could be sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, and they're thinking, I might have brought this into my life, so how can I share this story? Or maybe it's the fact that, you know, I know that there are a lot of people's families where you just don't tell things like this. Look, this is in our family. It's no for nobody else's ears. You know, this is just us, and, you know, we're going to deal with it ourselves, and we're going to do that. And so that's very damaging, I think, in a lot of ways. So what happens when people tell their stories, there's this empowerment that happens. There's this freedom that happens when they tell a story of something that might have been really tough for them to go through. And I'm saying abuse, it could have been cancer. You know, it could have been a death or loss of a loved one. It could have been divorce. It could have been, you know, that they felt like the oddball when they were the kid, you know, how they were growing up. Maybe they were, you know, just different than everybody else. So they've always felt different. And many people who are on a spiritual path feel different than other people that are around them. I know that you know that. And that, you know, so just that, in telling how did they deal with their life and feeling different and being different and maybe being pointed out that they were different, how did they deal with that? So in the sharing of stories, this is how we all grow. So, for instance, I can tell my story, and I grow every time I tell my story. And then when someone hears my story, they grow, because it actually frees them up to know it's okay. It's either it's okay because, hey, maybe they've gone through something similar and they recognize that because I was able to transform, they can transform. Or maybe it just gives them hope or courage to take that next step, hope that, oh, it's okay. Maybe things will change for me. Maybe things aren't great right now, they'll change for me. Or courage that says, you know what, I can step out. I've been afraid to step out, but if I just take that first step, maybe things will happen for me like they did for Sue or Wendy or Sean or Diane or whoever has their story that they're getting out there. You know, it's amazing what will happen through the telling of a story, and you just don't know until you put it out there and you do it.
And I certainly agree with you, and I think there is a powerful thing that when one person tells a story that they are going to help somebody else, like that we never go so far down or up that it makes a difference in somebody else's life. And I think it helps us heal somehow when you tell your own story. You know, it's a constant healing of whatever happened. But let's talk about that too, because, you know, the name of your company itself, Powerful You, I think there's such a inspiration just in that, because there's something about women and being a powerful person and not shying away from that. So when you named the company that, because I really love the name, and there's a little, because when I named my company, I had called Sean and said, this is the name of the company. And she said, well, that means that you just invited the universe to give you all good stuff. And I was like, oh, I did? I didn't know I did. So I just named my company. You know, like, she was like, yeah, you'll be great. And it was like, because when you name something or you give something that, a name of intention like that, and whether you realize it or not, there is something about that. And I think that women in particular need to hear that sometimes, that they are powerful.
Absolutely.
So give me a little bit background of what that name means to you and how you've seen it help other women.
Well, the name to me means, it means wholeness, really, and it means awareness of self. It's about recognizing, and it's interesting because we went through when we were naming the company, we kept going, is it Powerful Me Women's Network or Powerful You Women's Network? And somehow Powerful Me, we thought that people would not women, particularly because it was a women's network, would not be able to own Powerful Me as easily as they could say Powerful You, and knowing they were part of this whole Powerful You network. And that's really why we named it Powerful You, because we went back and forth about that for a while. But the the power empowerment part of our lives, Wendy, is that it's about recognizing that we are these divine, amazing spiritual beings in this human body, having this human experience here on this planet right now, and just recognizing that. And we wanted to point out that women are powerful. And I will tell you that we've had many instances where women come to our network who maybe don't feel so powerful. You know, they come and the word powerful even scares them. They don't think of themselves as powerful. They don't think of themselves as those powerful beings that can actually do things, you know, and it might be a lack of confidence, might be a lack of risk-taking. Maybe they weren't brought up that way. Maybe they were taught to be modest or something like that, or maybe they were taught to be, you know, not center stage and not be the leader and not be the one who, you know, is exhibiting all of this. Maybe somebody thought, oh, you're bragging if you talk about yourself in that way. You know, because a lot of our parents were, it was a different age, you know, like I'm 55 right now. So, you know, whenever we were growing up, it was kind of interesting because I had parents who actually felt differently about this. My mom was more about that, you know, what I just described about, you know, you can't step forward into that that light, you know, you're no better or worse than anybody else, but you're just the same as everybody else, and not necessarily even recognizing all of our values, even though she helped us and she helped us to grow that, but it was about this, how you talk about it, you know, or how you don't talk about it. My dad, on the other hand, he was, he actually is the first person that introduced me to people like Wayne Dyer and Zig Ziglar and all of this, you know, these personal development teachers. And he's like, you know, he always said to me, you know, Susie, you can do anything. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. And I, you know, I totally support you and all of this. And so I had kind of both of those, that one that helped keep me a little bit modest and, you know, maybe self-conscious and maybe not stepping out. And then that my father, who wanted me to step out and be the person that I was born to be. And he didn't know what that was. And he died now. He's been gone 21 years, and so he didn't even get to see me do so many of the things that I know he would be very happy about and maybe proud of me for. But, you know, he helped me to claim my own personal power is what I think. And so that's what we wanted to do when we developed Powerful You, is help women claim their personal power, help them to know that it's okay to step into that beauty of who they are and be who they are and present everything that they are to the world and not to be afraid of it within themselves. So that's where our thought process was when we created that name. And we really wanted that. It was about empowering women in all parts of their life. And not just the network. It wasn't about us empowering them. You know, that's a whole other thing. Like, could I teach? Sure, I could teach some things about that. But it wasn't about that. It's like, let's connect them and let them, all these women, come together and empower each other, because we're really so, so good at that. And I know that there's a lot of talk about women don't support each other and, you know, there are like cat fights and those kind of things. And I know that happens in some places, but I think more often than not, when women are exposed to other women who are helping other women, that they recognize that that's what we're here for. And that's how the world really becomes a better place, by us feeling empowered in ourselves and empowering each other to live our best life.
And I agree with you. I think I find, and you let me know if you agree with this, the older I get and the more intention I put into focusing on everything that's good and helping others, I don't see all that cat fight stuff. You know what I mean? All that stuff that I would hear when, yeah, I was younger about, you know, it's, and I'm like, I just don't have that in my life today. But that's a very intentional thing that I focus on always, how to help somebody else. And so I think that leads to that conversation is that intentions and manifesting what we have, yeah, in our life. You know, if we're constantly feeling like another woman's out to get something, not enough, then that's what I seem to get. But if I'm in manifesting and thinking that there is plenty and how can I help, it's a different story for us.
Absolutely. You know, they say that we see who we are and we meet who we are. Everybody else is a mirror to us. So I think that that's the other part of it. When more people are stepping into their own power and feeling that, then they're allowing other people to feel the same way and know that it's safe to do that and that it's good to do that. So I think that, you know, it's by more of us recognizing that and not telling those old stories that, you know, it has to be that way where we have to fight each other for a certain position or something. And instead, we're all, hey, let's do this together kind of mentality, and that attitude and that action that we take, then that's where the whole world changes too. Because I do think that some of that still exists, and the other, the way that I think is just not appropriate, or that I think it just doesn't make any sense to us. It doesn't make sense for us to be here on this planet and fight for things with each other and to compete with each other. Let's collaborate. Let's do this together, and let's recognize that we each can be powerful and not take away from anybody else. That we can actually, there's more, there's abundance in this universe, and let's share it with each other, and let's bring that forward with each other. And so it's, that's personally what my focus has been. And so because we have that intention, and because we have that spirit within us that's saying, hey, this is, there's abundance, there's plenty for everybody, that's what gets attracted into our network. Those are the women that we find when they go to our website, powerfulyouwomensnetwork.com. They find that they resonate with it, or they don't, by the way. Because we've had some people say, oh, this is like fluffy. This can't be a business network if this is fluffy or woo-woo, or those kind of things. And it's like, hey, why can't it be both?
And, that's a good question for me to ask now. If you're a person who is not there, because you're right, it's not that it doesn't exist, I just don't happen to attract a whole bunch of that at this point in time, but at the one point in time, I did feel like that, and it was like, there. If you take mine, I won't have enough for me, but when you have a woman that's like that, when you're talking about women who are still in that crux, there for whatever fearful reason, how do you go from that feeling good about yourself that you don't have to feel like you have to cringe sparsity thought process? Like, how do you go from, because there's got to be a process of feeling good yourself to feeling like you feel okay enough that things won't be sparse, that you're attracted to the right people, and that you're, so how does that, when you work with women, how do you get them from that starting point of not okay to feeling good enough to be okay?
Well, it's interesting because, what I have recognized is that when all it takes is awareness, okay, so that's really, and we know this, right? Just becoming aware is where the openness starts, right? So you start seeing other people who are doing this. So for instance, with our network, we have women, and we've had women come, and they're afraid. They're like, oh, well, if there's another organizer here in my group, then there's only one of us that's going to get business. And what we try to tell them is, look, you've got unique gifts and talents to bring to this party, and so does she. And just because you're both doing the same thing, you do it completely differently. There's nobody that can do the same thing you do like you do it. Even though they're kind of doing the same thing, it's different. It doesn't even matter. And so, we talk to them about it. We mention that to them. We tell them we don't have an exclusive group. We're going to allow all the organizers that want to come here to come to our networking meetings. And the beauty of it is they see through their experience that these people still get, they start getting business, and they start getting different business because one person resonates with this person and this person resonates with this one. So they get different business. But they both get business. So how do we teach them this? It's a mindset. There's this abundance mindset that some people have and some people don't. And it's like kind of that glass half empty, glass half full thing. It's kind of the same thing with abundance. There are people that are on one side of it, or there are people that are on the other side. You could draw this line, and you could very specifically see the people who have this lack mentality, that have this, they're afraid. And that's the fear. You're either above the line or you're below the line. And fear is below the line, and love and everything, love is above the line. And so there are many people that straddle that line, though. So how do we get them to see that? I think that it's kind of interesting because women will come to the meetings, and maybe they were of that lack of abundance mentality or lack mentality, and they see other people sharing things unafraid of what will happen, not looking at the result, not looking at that end thing, saying that I'm only in this because I want to get business, but instead saying I'm in this because I want to grow myself. I'm in this because I want to make more of who I already am. I'm in this because I love the connection with other women. I'm in this because I like the way I feel when I'm at this meeting, because we share gratitude, and all these other people are here because of that same reason. And so they somehow, through the process, they kind of let go of hanging on to the thing that says there's not enough for me. And they recognize that it's not about that. So that's kind of the process through our meetings. And we've even had people that come the first time, they're like, you know, I don't know why I like this, but I like this. You know, I didn't get any business today, but I like this. And we have people that have been members for years that keep coming to the meetings for themselves because they feel good in that process of being at the Power For You meetings and meeting the people that they meet because of the type of people that we attract. And, you know, it's just, I know it doesn't, it's like there's not a specific step I can tell you, you know, you follow this step and this step and this step. I really feel like it's about being open to who's in front of you and being open to the different people that are there and the experience and this awareness that things can happen differently than I thought they were, you know, and it's okay, and I'm just going to go with it. So it does happen over time. It doesn't happen for everybody right away. It does happen, well, sometimes it happens really immediately for people. So it's very interesting just seeing all of the things that have happened in our network with women that way. I really feel like it's about awareness, and you got to start with just looking at other people that are there.
And so what advice would you give to people who, especially if they're, you know, they're not at yours, but they go to these other types of networking groups where, so that women can start to go in? Because, you know, some networking groups you go to and it's like the good old, what I call the good old boys club,
yep.
And women
yep.
will shine right in that. So what are some tips then that you can give if there's not a women's network near the people listening, the women listening, so that they can still stand in their own power regardless of what type of event they're going to, so that they can make that transition?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, first of all, I think that there's, with the advent of Meetup, I would say anybody can start a networking meeting if they want to. So if you don't like what's out there, you can absolutely start something on your own. And certainly with our network, you know, we're always looking for people to start chapters. So there always is that. You can always do that. But if you're in this group and you are experiencing, you know, this competitive mentality instead of collaborative mentality, you're experiencing that all these people have, you know, or many people there have this lack mentality that says, you know, they're afraid to give you a referral because it might mean they might not get theirs or whatever. I would say that the first thing that you can do if you want to change that within yourself and you still want to feel powerful, then it has to start with you. And you have to start by being the giver. You know, you have to start by changing your own attitude and your own mentality and your own way of being and start giving a little bit more. Start being more open with people. Start being that person that you would like to have the whole group be. You know, that's how you would start that. And I think that, you know, in networking, it's really very interesting. You know, and really we started Powerful You Network because the other networking groups we were going to didn't feel good to us. You know, like we would go there and it felt like stifling. It felt like people were shoving business cards at us and just, you know, not wanting to create a relationship with us. And that's why we started it, because we wanted a different type of network. So I would say to anybody that wants something like that, you have to create it yourself so you can create that open conversation. You could start talking about things that are more meaningful to you at those meetings that you go to, and be open with the people that are there. Even if you get a little bit of resistance along the way, even if you're looked at like the odd bird, like who's this woman wanting to, you know, get touchy feely with me, or you know, like touchy feely with want to know how I feel about something, not about how it is, you know, like in the reality of things. So I think that you can just start by being that person and just exhibiting, you know, just be the example. Just that simply. Be the example at the meetings that you're in with the people that you're with.
And you know, that brings me to another question. So if you're, and I'm sure this has happened, when you're just off, things, life is happening, but you got to go to that networking group anyway, or you have to go and deal with others. How do you, how on those days when like life is just happening around you, that you bring yourself into acting as if and going and not allowing that to shut you down?
Okay, so, yeah, you know, first thing, Wendy, is, you know, for me, anytime you want some kind of change of state, right, because that's what you're wanting. You want it to change your own state, change your own feelings about it, feel better about whatever it is that you have to do in the moment, you know, because all of us have had days where we've gone through things and that we have to do, and I'm doing air quotes right now, these things we have to do, like maybe you have to go to this networking meeting, or maybe you even take it out of networking and say, I have to go to this person's house because it's a, you know, a neighborhood event or it's a family event and I have to go. So you don't necessarily feel good about it because either the people that are there or the whatever the, you know, whatever is going on, you don't feel great about it. What you have to do is you have to make your own mind shift first. You have to decide, and that's the first thing, you make a decision within yourself that no matter what, you are going to make the most of this situation, that you are going to be the light, if you will. I know the show is about love and light, right? You be the light. You decide within you before you go there and see what's going to happen when you're there. You decide ahead of time, I'm going to be the life of this meeting, or I am going to be the light here. Light and life, or both of them, you know, I'm going to be the light in this meeting, or I'm going to be the life of the party. I'm going to go to my family event, and even though I don't like all the people that are there necessarily, or we don't see things eye to eye, or it's really tough for us because of some stuff that's happened in the past, I am going to get myself in a mode where it's okay. I am going to feel okay about me. I am going to be all about, you know, the goodness. I am going to decide ahead of time to feel good no matter what. So what that means to me is you got to create a vibration, a higher vibration within you, so that you can kind of, if you will, fight off some of those other vibrations that come at you, because a high vibration has more resonance. It has more power than a lower vibration. So if they're low vibration beings and you're a higher vibration being, basically you're going to, you know, you're going to come out ahead in this situation, or you're going to help them to raise their vibration just because of how you are. And the best way I know how to do that, the first way, is to get in the space of gratitude. You know, gratitude to me for whatever is going on is the best way to change your own mood and vibration, because gratitude is one of the highest vibrations that's available to us. It in feeling grateful for something that's in front of you, whatever it is, you raise your mood and vibration immediately. You raise your mood and vibration, and you are more easily to extend that to other people then. You are more easily, when you're in that higher state of gratitude, you're actually, the law of attraction is always at work. So if you're in that higher vibration, then you'll only attract to you those things that are of that higher vibration. And so, you know, because everything starts with the state that you're in. Everything ahead of you also is influenced by this present moment. So you want to get into the state before you go to that meeting or before you see your family or whatever that is. So it really matters how you feel. You know, and I've had a lot of bad stuff happen to me, you know, like as everybody has. You know, we've all gone through stuff, you know. There's a myriad of things, but you got to get back to your own vibration. You got to get back to your own self, because, you know, in the end, the only thing you can control anyway, you can't control anybody at the meeting, you can't control anybody at a family gathering, you can only control you. And really, you can't even control the thing that you can control about yourself is how you're feeling. You control your moods and your attitudes and your feelings through what you're thinking about. So you want to direct your mind to something that is forward-thinking, that is high vibration, and the best way to do that is to feel grateful. So you can just ask yourself today, you know, like, what am I feeling grateful for right now in this moment? What can I feel good about? What can I feel grateful about this meeting that I'm going to? What can I feel grateful about in advance right now? So because you're only feeling now. You can't feel for the future. You can only feel for right now. So you want to feel ahead of time. So you ask yourself those empowering questions. What can I feel good about now? What can I be grateful for right now? And when you go into that meeting then, knowing that you feel grateful and knowing that your positive expectation and your intention is the most important thing, then, you know, you'll attract more of that good stuff to you, and other people will be affected by it, and they might not recognize what happened, but you will know that you were able to help them get into a higher vibration just by you being there.
And, you know, when we're talking about intentions, let me ask you, because, and I know this from myself, so when one sets an intention, if you're new to that idea, explain what that is and how you go about setting that, because a lot of people confuse intentions for goals, and they, mm-hmm. you know, or they're like, it's a head intention and not a heart intention. So, go a little bit deeper into what an intention looks like and how you get it, because a lot of people, because they're coming from a headspace, that's what I call it, the headspace, they don't know, and they're like, well, maybe it's this, and they talk around it a lot without actually setting what the intention, their intention is.
So the headspace, heart space, I like that, you know, talking about that, because I think that's really kind of the difference between goals and intentions. I feel like goals are more specific, and heads, they come from the brain, they come from the head, and it's from that space. So it's a whole different thing. And intentions come from the heart space. Intentions are more about how it's going to feel. You know, feelings are everything. You know, to me, I call myself even, and this evolved over years, the feel-good guidance, because I feel like I'm here to help people to feel good and to figure out a way to feel good really kind of no matter what, even when really bad stuff happens, you know. So I feel like when I talk about feelings like that, I think about the heart space, because that's where feelings really are. You know, you can actually feel something in your chest. You know, we feel it in our belly. We feel it in our chest. We feel it in that space there. We don't necessarily feel things in our head. We think them in our head. We have our thoughts emanate from our head, but those thoughts and what we're thinking about absolutely affects our heart space. So when we talk about intentions, for instance, one of the intentions that I always used to set when I go to my networking meetings, and I made it a point outside of a networking meeting, I'd be sitting in my car, I put down my visor, I put the mirror, I put on my lipstick, so I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I'm looking into my eyes, and that's how I always set my intentions, is looking into my own eyes, and I would set the intention, meaning this is how I want to feel. So during this meeting, I am going to be helpful. I am going to be kind. These are my intentions. I intend to be kind. I intend to be helpful. I intend to help people connect to each other. I intend to, you know, share what I know for the good of everybody that's there. And I intend to feel good in the process. And that was always my highest intention, was to feel good no matter what. I'm going to feel good no matter who's talking, who the speaker is, who I meet, who I do this. This is my intention. Now, my goal for that meeting might have been, okay, I'm going to very specifically talk to two people that I didn't know before, and I want to, you know, see if I can help them in some way, but that's my goal for this meeting. It's a little different than my intention, because my intention is that I want to feel good in the process. So to me, intentions are really from that heart space, and goals are from the head space.
And when you work with women, or when you're at your networking event, how do you on the side receiving move past somebody who's come in with goals of so many sales, so that you can even out the playing field? Or, you know, because there's a lot of people who go to networking events and they're thinking numbers. I have to get so many referrals, I have to get da-da-da, you know, that's maybe. So how do you, when you're on the receiving end, or women who are on the receiving end of that, that you can't get a word in edgewise because that person's selling, that's they're there for, so that you can't even that playing ground with that person?
I think that, you know, it's interesting, because I don't really care about that. Like, for myself personally, if somebody's out there selling and that's where they're coming from and that's their space, I kind of let them have that space. I don't try to compete with that in any way or anything like that. But what I do try to do maybe is ask questions to get them to focus on something different. So you can ask questions, you know, so you can guide the conversation a little bit more. And I know that there are people that's really tough to do. They keep coming back to that same thing. It's almost like pounding. I'm pounding on my fist right now. It's like, this is what I want to talk about. I want sales, and I know I can help you, and all that kind of stuff. And we've all been on the receiving end of that. But by asking different types of questions is how we can then change that conversation and get them to maybe soften what they're doing. But it's really not about that, because it's not our job to change them. It's really our job to manage our own energy. But in the sense of, okay, so how then can I become relevant in this meeting, and how can I also, because, you know, yes, I have those intentions, but I also have goals. I have business goals. I want people to, you know, if I can help them with my products, I want them to have my products. Absolutely. But to me also, you know, that's by asking questions that I can even know that. So it's all about questions are super important to me. There's empowering questions and disempowering questions, and our questions really shape our lives, because, you know, So let's start here. We know that our brains are, you know, they're these fluid things that we have. They actually can change by what we feed to them and what is going on around them. Their neuroplasticity, they can grow, they can heal themselves, they can do a lot of stuff. So, and our brains are where the thoughts come, right? So if we can ask empowering questions to other people, we can also maybe help to mold that or help them to shift their perspective or shift their attitude a little bit and maybe shift their feelings a little bit. So first of all, we're being the example. Second of all, it's like, okay, so what am I going to do if this person is just overpowering and they're just, I'm not getting a word in edgewise? You know, personally for me, and it's not a cop-out, I leave the conversation. I go somewhere else if I possibly can. I want to talk to somebody that's going to be more of that back and forth kind of conversation, a conversation, not a speech, you know. So that's what I do personally. But questions can be great. You know, questions are just a wonderful way to guide conversation without telling somebody, hey, I don't like how you're being. I don't like that you're, you know, kind of like taking over the conversation. Questions to guide that is a soft way to change things.
And then there's that other type of energy that comes in where they're, and it's, you know, and because then I want to get into from intention to manifesting, but that other person who comes in into a room and it's not about goals or number, it's just really I need business because I'm trying to make this work. You know, I'm trying to force all of this to work because I need to be able to feed myself. You know, that kind of new, sometimes you get that in new businesses. They just have those days where they look at the numbers and go, oh my gosh, I'm in a desperate state, you know. So how do you go from helping a woman like that when they're in a networking event, because they really may need the business or whatever, and still allow them to go from being intentional and then, but yet manifest what they really need to grow in their business instead of trying to force it?
Yep. That's a great question. I think that there are a lot of people that show up at networking meetings because they're like, okay, so I've got to make more contacts because I know if I get more contacts, I can get more business, and I really do have to put food on the table, and I've got kids, and I've got, you know, bills, and I've got other stuff, so I have to do it, and there are people that come. The interesting thing is, you know, those people that come with that, I mean, we feel their energy, right? You feel the desperation, and desperation is definitely a below-the-line kind of feeling. You know, it's like you can feel people's desperation instead of their passion, you know? So it's kind of like, again, it's that turnaround that you want to help them make, I think. First of all, if I can help somebody or if anybody can help somebody by giving them business, great, you know, because there's always somebody that needs the product that that person is selling or the service that that person is selling. So if I can ever provide a referral or lead, I will absolutely do that, and I recommend that everybody does that, even if it's, you know, if you feel that it's a good fit for that person. So we do that. But then there's that thing where we can help them maybe shift their energy and change their desperation to passion, or again, by asking these questions, you know, what are you passionate about? And get them to that passion place of why they're in this business instead of this desperation place of why they're in this business. So we can help them in that sense by literally, again, just asking those empowering questions. So what's your love about this business? You know, what is it, you know, or and how has it helped your clients? You know, can you tell me a story about a client maybe that you've been able to help through this? Or something along those lines. Get them, again, talking about more high vibration stuff than letting the desperation shine through. You know, so I think that that's kind of the turnaround that has to happen.
And the other question is, so let's talk about and manifesting goals, because you talked about briefly about goals and our intentions, and then long term, because, you know, manifestations of what you would like, because, and this is a good time of year to talk about this too, because people start to work on their vision boards. They don't know what they're, you know what I mean? They
yep.
So which I do every year, I love doing vision boards. So how do you go from that vision? Let's just take a break and talk about that for a second, because a lot of women will just, they're doing vision boards. How do you go from the vision to manifesting, or what are some tools that you can give to turn that into manifestations, not just stopping? Because, you know, a lot of women, they do vision boards, and that's the extent. They have the vision, and that's great. That's a good start. But how do you kind of keep going through that so that you're not at this part of the year, next year, going, okay, I did that vision board, and none of that has happened. You know what I mean?
Nope.
So how do you turn that around?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. So we all start with an intention, right? So you have to start whenever you're setting your intentions and setting and creating your vision, you have to get really, really clear. Clarity is the most important thing. You have to get really, really clear about exactly what it is that you want. I told you the story about, you know, losing our business. We wanted out of that business, but we were never very specific about how we wanted it to happen or how we saw that in the end. And we ended up losing it in a way that just, you know, it's what we got what we wanted, but we didn't get it in a way that was easy for us or that was calming for us or, you know, necessarily beneficial at that moment for us, but we got it, you know. So here's the deal with that. Your intentions will manifest. If you hold an intention and if you have a vision for your life, it will manifest if you are in the feeling place of what that intention looks like or what that vision looks like. If you want to manifest something real into your life, you have to first of all feel it. I think that you cannot manifest something if you're not an equal match to the feeling place, the vibrational match to what it is that you desire. So for instance, if I want to have a thriving business, and you know, you can pick any number, I want to have a $100,000 business, or I want to bring in $100,000 every year, or $10,000 a month, or $5,000 a month, or whatever it is, or maybe you want $1 million business, you know, or maybe you want just $1 million in the bank. And I'm just talking about money because that's something that we can quantify right now. But say you want that. That's a goal. But in order to achieve that goal, you can have to set the intention that says, okay, so if I want, let's say, $100,000 business this year, so I want to bring in $100,000 of business, what person do I have to be? How do I have to feel in order to do that? And then you get to, what are the things that I have to do in order to achieve that? So there are goals with that, but you have to be a vibrational match, and your actions have to be the match, your feelings have to be the match, your speech has to be the match. So what do I see somebody or me, if I'm going to have this $100,000 business, what are the things I would be saying every day? What are the things I would be doing? How would I feel every day? How would my body be? How would my physical health be? What people would I be surrounded by? So these are the kind of things that we want to talk about. And so, yes, there's a vision board, and that's a beautiful place to start, and a list of intentions or even a list of resolutions like many people do at New Year's. You know, set those down, put them in writing, but then you have to get into the feeling place of it. And that is where things start to manifest, because when you can get into that feeling place of something and then you have the vision and you see yourself having it and you actually can, you know, feel how it's going to feel to have that in your life, that's where it starts, because then inspiration comes to you, and then you start taking that inspired action, hopefully, because a lot of times people get inspiration. They say, you know, they get an idea for something. Well, that's inspiration, or somebody tells them about something that is aligned with whatever that is, their intention is, and then they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that's great, because that's kind of lined up with the thing that I want to have happen for me. And yet then they don't take the action. They forget to take that inspired action, or they're afraid to take that inspired action, or they get caught up in the minutia of the day-to-day stuff that they forget about the inspirational part of it. And I will tell you, the inspiration that's in spirit, that comes from God, you know, that's what that is. It's a message from God that says, do this, you know. And if you don't do that, it's kind of like you're saying to God, okay, nope, I'm not going to do that. So God says, okay, and I say God, I mean God, the universe, you know, higher power, whatever you want to call it. It says, okay, then that's not going to happen for you. So you got to be in that feeling place, and you have to be open to take that inspired action, and you have to move and act as if, you know, that's part of this. You know, and I say act, and I think that's like a little bit of a misnomer, but it is that, you know. And by acting, it's meaning yes, get into that feeling place of it, and so be there, live in that space even before that thing has happened for you, or even before you see the physical manifestation. You have to live in the spiritual manifestation of that, in the energetic vibration manifestation of that, before that can happen for you. So that's really how, for me, manifestation is, yes, it's about doing certain things, but it's more about the feeling of those things and getting in that energetic space.
I really like that ideology. I think that's really important. And you can tell somebody who's feeling into that space, opposed to when we talked about the person who's desperate, who you can tell by that energy too. So my last question then for you, because I can't believe we've already spent almost an hour. It's crazy. But one of my last questions for you, I have two actually, but the first one is when you have somebody and you're talking about and I think this is important for when you're setting intentions, goals, you know, intention to the goal, to the manifestation, and you're going around along that line, and you're being very you're being very intentional in your actions. And so when you have that person and you're at that networking event and it's just not a good fit, you know, because there's a balance of I need this money, but I also know what a good fit for a client is for me. So how do you entrust in yourself that saying no could be a better yes for tomorrow? How do you help women through that?
Well, I know that, you know, a couple of things about that. I guess, you know, first of all, as women, we're natural helpers. We're naturally inclined to help whoever's in front of us. And I think that sometimes comes to our detriment, right? Because we maybe help people because we don't, or we help people because we want to, but we forget about maybe taking care of ourselves first. So there's that thing. And there's it's a really fine line, Wendy. I think whenever we talk about helping somebody or not, or choosing not to help them, and we're saying help them, but maybe it's about saying no, meaning buying their product. I know that I've actually purchased things from people just to help them, not because I want it. I don't want their product. I don't care about their product. I don't need their product, but I buy it because I feel like they really need me to buy this. So I've done that before. But I've also said no many times, and it's tough to say no, especially if you like that person and you recognize that they're desperate, you know, so it's tough to say no. I think that you have to get in that space of honoring yourself and deciding if it's the right thing for you to do to help that person or to walk away, you know, because there are some, to me, there's desperate people that have really good intentions, and there's desperate people that maybe they don't, not that they have bad intentions, but they're just, you know, they forgot the real reasons why they're doing things. And again, that's why those questions really help, you know, that helps get them connected back to their passion again. You know, I guess I'm thinking about the question that you're talking about, so how do you say no? Is that really kind of the question?
Yeah, I mean, it's because not every client is fit for you. And I think that's okay to know that. And because it may not, those people may not fit into what you're trying to manifest. But we, you know, sometimes I think as entrepreneurs, we get into the, well, let me take this client because I need the money, but even though it doesn't feel good or it doesn't feel right, and I think that it's important for women who are really trying to build what they're trying to build to say no sometimes. But we don't
okay.
want to.
Yep. Okay, so here's the thing about that, and my father actually taught me this. My father, I have some great lessons from my father. I feel like he was like a Yoda for me or something, and he still is, actually. You know, he talks to me, and I sometimes I'll open my mouth, and I hear his words are coming out. Mm-hmm. They didn't come from me. They came from him, and I just really feel that way sometimes. But what he always said to me is, Sue, if you know that it's not a right fit for you, if you want to say no to somebody, you have to, a couple things, you do it quickly, and you do it friendly, and you do it with a smile. And so that's something that I've always carried with me. And it's like, you know, you don't let it just sit there and bleed and bleed and bleed. You know, you take care of it right away. So what I want to say about that is, okay, if I know a client isn't good for me, or if I'm just not, you know, not feeling it, and I know that it's not going to be a great relationship along the way, then I do that. And what the words, specific words that I say are something that you mentioned. This just doesn't feel right for me. You know, I don't feel like we're a good fit. This really just doesn't feel right to me. And maybe in the future it will work for us. But for right now, I just don't feel like this works for me. And just that simple. And you don't have to get into all kinds of explanations. I think that's where, as women, you know, we try to keep explaining ourselves, and it's almost like digging this hole for ourselves in the process, which we forget we're doing, or we don't recognize we're doing at the time, but we keep saying more than we need to. It's really about that swift, quick no that's going to make the difference. And you know what? In the process, they're going to honor that. Now, some people might ask you, well, why doesn't it feel right? And you could say, and this is, again, this is my father. He said, just say, it just doesn't feel right. It's just a feeling that I have. And you can just go there. You don't have to get into this whole too long, drawn-out explanation. Now, because you might need money right now, it's going to be very tempting to take anybody that's willing to pay you. But But you know, and we know this, you have to remind yourself that you might have been through a client in the past that wasn't a good fit for you, and what happened then. You have to remind yourself that the good clients, they do come, and that you are always taken care of. And I just had this conversation, actually, with our editor just a very short time ago. It's like we got to remember when we're in the middle of it that everything always works out, and I really do mean those words. I almost never use the word always. But in this situation, it's kind of like, look, everything always does work out for the best in the end, and I know that. So if I can remember it right now while I am making this decision and while I'm making this choice for myself, if I can remember that I'm always taken care of, if I can remember that everything is always okay and that there is always going to be another client, there's something behind this, then it gives me ease in making that decision and telling that person no.
And on the opposite side, you know, I'll never forget, I was new in my business, and I called up Sean, and I said, that huge contract just fell through. And she said, Wendy, there's another one. There's a reason why this fell through. And I was, like, devastated because it was a good contract, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And sure enough, within a month, I got a better contract. And I – it's amazing because if you're going through a new business and you don't know what you don't know that there's –
right. You don't know.
And she kept me so calm about that to the point where now I'm like, okay, so that client, that didn't work out, but that means that there's something else that the universe is trying to put together for me right now, and I'm going to patiently wait until that comes. But you know what I mean? But if you don't know, you just don't know.
Exactly. I just want to say one quick thing about that.
Ahead.
So this is where the trust comes in and the faith mm-hmm. comes in. So it's like faith specifically, because you don't need faith if you know what's going to happen or you know, and you know what's out there. This is where really faith comes in, is you got to just have faith that everything is going to work out, meaning that you just don't know what's going to happen next, but that's where the faith really comes in, and that's where we get tested, but that's where we trust and have faith. And so it's like a muscle. We can build that.
And yeah, I completely agree. We have about 4 minutes, so first I want to ask you how everybody can get in touch with you, because that's most important. Because and especially if you want to write and you don't want to write a book, but you want to be able to do something and tell your story, I want you to get in touch with Sue because she is amazing. And any of the women that I've known that have been in her book have been fantastic. So that's first. How do people get in touch with you?
Very simple. You can go to powerfulyou.com. So powerfulyou.com, and that will take you to our women's network site. We're actually in the process of building a brand new website right now. It's going to be launched sometime in December. But you get there, and there will be links to go to our Powerful You Women's Network. There will be links there to go to our Powerful You Publishing, and you could go to powerfulyoupublishing.com actually if you're interested at all in sharing your story and writing a book. If you have some kind of transformational story, if you want to reach more people. You know, it's amazing when you become a published author what doors open up for you when you have your story out there and you have a book and you can say, look, I'm a published author, because there's a lot of people out there that really have a dream of becoming a published author. And, you know, a lot of it just stays as a dream for people, but there are people that actually get it done. You know, I actually wrote my own book. I actually have 2 books of my own that I've written. But the first time I wrote my book, my first book took me 2 years to write, and it didn't take me 2 years. You know, it probably took me 40 hours or something like that, but it felt like it took the whole 2 years because I kept procrastinating and doing a little bit and changing my mind and all these things, and then finally it all came together. But we make it easy for people. We do anthology books. Again, you could just share a short story in there. We are also starting to publish individually authored books as well, so that's something that you'll see that next year on our website, that where we're doing that too. But just powerfulyou.com gets you everywhere. I also invite people to go to my personal website, which is sueurda.com. So it's sueurda.com. And on my website, you'll see some things that I do. I have a blog there. I do articles all the time about, you know, being in the space of feeling good, how to practice gratitude, how to set your intention and manifest your desires, a whole bunch of things along those lines. And also I have on there something that I want you all to look at. It's the 30-Day Transformation Challenge, which is a 30-day no-complaints challenge, which can change your life forever. You know, that's one of the other ways to start feeling really good is to stop complaining. It sounds simple, but it's life-changing. But those are the ways to get to me, powerfulyou.com and sueurda.com.
I am so happy you came on the show today. I thought it was fantastic, and I encourage you. I really encourage you to reach out to Sue and find out, especially if you ever wanted to write and to do her challenge, because you're just a positive, bright light that needs to have, you know, be in touch with others and continue to shine. So thank you, Sue, so much. We have, we're actually out of time, but I am so grateful you came on today, and I hope that you reach out to Sue at powerfulyou.com or SueErta.com. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Wendy.